This is the Closet Geek, episode 53 for September 11th, 2014.
Closet Geek, coming to you each week in Closet Geek. All things of geeks critiqued in Closet Geek. Comics and games and tech in Closet Geek. Lego, Star Wars, Star Trek in Closet Geek. We are not nerds, we have some social skills to call our own.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Closet Geek, where geeks come out, the podcast where four brothers have united their powers to become the four horsemen of geek to bring you the best and latest geeky news. I'm your host, Barry Ricks, and with me I have my three brothers, John, Ryan, and Michael.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Whee.
And special guest tonight, Bill Duran from Punished Props.
Woo. Howdy, guys. Welcome,
Hi, Bill.
Yes. I have now met, I think, three of the four horsemen.
So yeah. John, nice.
I'm all the way out.
Yeah,
John is the one
that
out.
That guy down there.
I'm the whole out.
Or up there, depending on who you're watching.
When and I feel like if and when I do meet him, then that's it for the world. It's over. We're done.
It happened.
We arranged that somehow.
Something will implode.
It was a very brief meeting with Bill, but it was nice.
Oh yeah, I forget. Did I have my costume on? This is it.
You did.
Comic
yeah, game. You were doing the Skyrim costume.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Fan favorite. People like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. That's why.
Thank you.
It reminds me of I was listening to the morning stream and talking about your bag of stink.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell everyone what the bag of stink
nightmare
is?
Nightmare scenario. All right, so I wear my Skyrim costume. I'm supposed to be undead. So instead of painting my whole body, I wear a Zentai suit or a morph bodysuit, whatever you call it, painted to look undead. And I wore it at Dragon Con. And even though I Febrezed it every day,
yes.
I didn't wash it per se.
Yeah.
And I dragged it to Salt Lake City with my stinky self and wore it again the next weekend.
Woo!
And you know it.
You would never know.
It depends on how close you got.
You look undead.
I was standing next to you, but it was General Con stink at that point.
The whole
convention just kind of had a general stink.
Axe body spray.
Yeah.
There you go. So anyway, I took the bodysuit off at the bathroom of the convention center and put it in a plastic bag and left it at Scott Johnson's booth. And then, with every intention of reclaiming it later that day, but then I went out to dinner with my friends and the con was ending for the day, so I told Scott, I knew if I left that there overnight marinating, then I was not going to want to put it back on in the morning. So Scott was kind enough to bring it back to his house with him, and I washed it that night, and it was gross, so gross.
Yes. But so it was a Dragon Con and Salt Lake Comic Con without being washed, right?
Right. It has since been washed, hung up outside to dry, and
Yes, nice. I had to wash my costumes as well.
Yeah,
that is.
Nice. So should we do this chronologically? So start with Ryan and Bill talking about Dragon Con.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about Dragon Con with Bill and Ryan, and then we'll talk about Salt Lake Comic Con with Bill and Mike. And then we'll maybe get into some projects that you guys are doing or something.
Cool.
It is a con and project day.
Boom. I'm in.
I can do that.
Boom. All right. So Ryan and Bill.
Yep. Yes.
How was Dragon Con?
Go ahead, Bill.
I feel like I say this every year, but this year it seems like it was something special. Like there was something special in the water. And it was my favorite one to date, for sure. I got to do lots of fun stuff, hang out with lots of fun people. Ryan and I ran into each other very briefly
Ryan had mentioned that.
Well, you were, was it you that was hanging out with Mark Meir, Commander Shepard? Yeah. How did that? You guys a good pal? How did that happen?
Yeah, we are. Oh. So we had, let's see, he texted about where he was going to be. And so I'm like, hey, you know, I'm going to be over there anyway because I'm meeting with another friend at the Avengers Ball. And so I ran into him at the, what was it, the Westin, is that one?
Sure.
Hotel? Yeah. One of those hotels.
Yeah, right. And he was doing a photo shoot with some Mass Effect people.
Like you do.
Yeah. And so he's like, yeah, you just want to hang out with me for the rest of the night? And like, yes.
Wait, let me check my schedule. Oh, it's open.
Yeah. He was pretty cool. And he's like, yeah, we're just going to do this photo shoot. So we went up to the observation deck and did the photo shoot with the girls there. And then I kind of acted as like a bouncer because I'm, you know, 6.5 feet tall, 300 pounds. So
yeah,
it worked.
Was that with the Asari dancers?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, that was cool. I didn't know, like, I knew most of the people who were doing that, and I didn't realize that they were doing it. And apparently they've been planning it for, like, a year, which is super cool. But they had a bunch of girls in these cool dancer outfits. Half of them were Asari, so they had their head made up like aliens, and it was really cool.
It was cool. I lost video for a second.
Yeah, I thought we lost you there.
That was weird. Yes. So anyway, so I was like, Mark had this VIP pass. He says, let's go see if this can get us into this VIP place. I'm like, okay, cool. And so we walked over to the next hotel. I think it was the Sheraton. And went in there, and they're like, yeah, bring as many as you want. So it was me and Ronna McNear and Courtney Taylor and Dino. He does voices for World of Warcraft. I forget his last name. Yeah, he does Mechatork and Lord Putricide and all those.
So things. All the cool people at Dragon Con.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They were all right. Yeah, and then me, like, who's this guy? But it was cool. Mark's really nice. He's a really nice guy. If you've ever met him, he remembers your name and he remembers your face from previous times. Anytime he's met, and he was really cool. He's like, runs into, you know, these VIP bigwigs, and he was still kind enough to say, "Hey, this is Ryan. He does costumes. You should see his Ultron." Cool. So that was pretty nice. And then we were done with that party, and that's when I met Bill.
Yeah.
So Bill's there with his brother and their wives and their Marriott garb.
Our carpet wear. Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I was saying this to my brothers before, and I was just like, "Hey, Bill, what's going on?" And he's like, "Oh, you know, we just kind of exchanged, you know, pleasantries really quick." And then Bill's like, "Mark Meir." So I was like, "Yep, Mark, he gets all the attention." So yeah, that was pretty cool.
So Bill, how did you feel about the whole Claptrap army? And tell us a little bit about that.
That was really cool. So for those who don't know, last year my brother made this little Claptrap puppet and surprised me by showing up at Dragon Con with it. It was something we'd been talking about for a while, and he did it. Totally. He finished it, by the way, at my house without me knowing. Like, that's why. So this year we were like, we want more. We want to have more Claptraps. So I did a tutorial. I built my own, made a video about it, and encouraged more people to do their own. And there were like 5 or 6 Claptraps running around at Dragon Con, which is amazing. We had a Borderlands photo shoot, and there were, including mine and my brother's, there were 2 others. We had 4 Claptraps, like, running around and dancing, which was really cool.
Did you see the 2 Claptraps at Salt Lake Comic Con?
I didn't see any of them in person. I know that they were there, but I did not see them in person.
Yeah, it looks like they probably used the same tutorial that you did.
Right.
So It was pretty awesome.
That's cool.
What's funny is I recently helped judge a Borderlands costume contest, and one of the categories was to dress up as Claptrap. Well, one of the guys very obviously used my tutorial, which is fine, except that he made his look way better than mine. He put way more detail into it. His paint job was vastly superior, and he put like springs and stuff on the wheels. It was incredible.
Nice.
That's cool.
Seeing people take my sort of template and then just really run with it was kind of fun.
Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah, it's kind of like an honorable mention. Right. Be like, yeah, I took this from Bill and added to it, made it my own type of thing.
I like that. I like that, too, when I sell a Chewbacca kit. It comes with the mask and the toes and the teeth and everything. And it's always cool to see everyone's take on how they build my kit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it is really cool. I can say that probably half the Wookiees out there use my kit, so...
Yeah,
so that's cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty safe assumption. Yeah.
Hey, so, Ryan, did you wear the Chewbacca costume at Dragon Con?
I didn't. No.
Oh, okay.
I brought it.
You're right, because then the fact that you said that you know half the Chewbacca's out there use your kit, because there was a picture of a Chewbacca at Dragon Con, and I was like, I don't know if that's Ryan or not, because you know, because I mean the face was done in the same, you know, I could tell it was the same mask that you do. Uh-huh. And so that's what, because that's usually the giveaway for whether, you know, it's you or somebody else, because the way that the face is done.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll have to ask him if he did, because it must have been one of your kits that the guy used, because it did look a lot like your costume.
That's cool. I like to see that.
Yeah, and the guy did a really good job with, you know, like the bandolier and everything, and so.
Okay.
And
yeah.
he had a bowcaster and everything, and I thought, man, that looks just like Ryan's, but.
Yeah.
Usually it really was. Yeah. Some guy just went up into his hotel room and stole it.
Yeah.
I was going to say another dead giveaway with Ryan's Chewbacca is the fact that there's usually only a very slight lift in the shoe where everybody else is on stilts.
Right.
Oh. Yeah, that's true. Most of the people do wear stilts because not everyone is as tall as me, so.
Right. Yeah.
That's true.
It helps. It really helps with the dimensions of the costume.
But Bill, I thought the costume that you and your brother did, Dr. Ned and Dr. Zed,
I thought that was
a very clever costume idea,
right,
that the two of you shared.
So we already had our Claptrap, so we already had a Borderlands thing going, and he had the idea to build costumes to go with our Claptraps. So he did Dr. Ned and Dr. Zed, which in the fiction it's sort of not sure if it's the same person or not. Cause,
Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing.
Right. Because Zed is the normal dude, and Ned has a mustache, which is clearly stuck to the front of his surgical mask. And the N on his thing is turned, or the Z is turned sideways into an N. So we did that since we're identical twins, and that was turned into one of my favorite costumes, which was great.
I saw you driving your Claptraps as dressed as those guys. So
that was freaking out.
So we ran around. We did the parade on Saturday, and we went with the Borderlands group, and we each picked the side of the street, and I would roll down with my little Claptrap, and I had like high five children with it, which was really fun.
Nice.
And turns out some children are like super stoked to high five Claptrap, but some of them want nothing to do with the robot at all. Like, ah!
Yeah. Yes.
Don't touch it. That was the last.
That's what happened to me as Chewbacca when I marched in the parade last year. The same thing, going for a high five, some kids would freak. Like this giant guy is running at me. So it was fun.
So you guys are always asked what your favorite costume was at Dragon Con, but what was the most unique costume that you guys saw that you liked?
I know my favorite and the unique one had to be the guys who went as the seagulls from Finding Nemo. Did you see those?
I saw that. I saw those guys in person, yeah.
Oh man.
So they had just hats. They built these hats that were helmets that looked like floating debris with a seagull perched on top of it. These really nice looking little seagull.
They were nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah, they looked
They were set up with a string so that when they pulled on the string, the mouth would open.
Mouth would move,
and
yeah.
There are like five or six of them just surrounding people going, mine.
It was cool. And they made an effort to all kind of stay together so it looked like a flock.
Yeah. I saw the video that you posted of it, and it was funny.
So they, nice. The great thing is because it was on top of their heads, they would you could see them over a crowd.
Right.
And like, is that? And it looked like they're just kind of bobbing up and down and floating around. Like, Nemo?
Yes, on the flotsam of the Marriott floor.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Cool. What about you, Ryan?
Well, let's see. I know that probably one of the most popular and photographed costume was Groot. Hurley FX is Groot. I've been following his build for a long time because I know Caitlin and Mike, they're from Contagious Costuming, Contagious Props. So he did the Rocket Raccoon puppet, and Caitlin was the Gamora, I think her name is.
Right.
And so since I know them, I kind of was introduced via Facebook only to Hurley FX, and I've been following his group build, and it's really, really impressive. It's all latex and hand carved with clay, and yeah, it was pretty impressive. That was probably the big showstopper there, but there was some, I don't know, I have to get back to you, something that really stuck with me. Yeah. But that's off the top of my head. That's, of course, I think everyone was pretty impressed with that. So.
Yeah. And you guys are planning on going next year?
Obviously.
Obviously.
it's like part of your whole
yearly
existence.
I already have my ticket and my hotel booked for next year, so I'm in.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm trying to talk my brothers into going with me next year.
I would love to go. That would be so fun.
I mean, I told them, you guys got to decide right now because the hotels are already starting to sell out. And they're like, we'll get back to you. like, no, you have to decide right now. But we've got a big family reunion next summer, so that's going to hurt a lot of people's pocket.
Yeah. So. Cool. So do you guys have any plans for your next costumes next year, or are you allowed to say?
I'm working towards BlizzCon. That's the next thing. So I
have
my
right.
for that.
That's next month, isn't it?
Don't remind me. Yeah. I'll let you know when I start working on that. I don't want to spill the beans on it until I actually break ground, because I don't want to make promises that aren't going to be fulfilled.
Right, right. That's right. That's a safe way. Yeah. Well, I did Beast, we did an X-Men photo shoot on Friday. It was a video photo shoot. There's some photography stills that have come out and that look pretty good, but primarily it was a video shoot. So we had Beatdown Boogie and Distractatron and a couple other videographers that are working on videos for us. So they're really awesome videos will come out, and it'll really be cool to see then, because they had like one of those copters, flyby copters, doing video as well.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I saw that in one of the
pictures.
One
of the still photos, it was hanging up above. And,
yeah. So yeah. It'll be pretty awesome when that comes out.
It's like drone.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was the guy. What's his name? He does cosplay in America or something like that.
Egen?
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that was his. And then, so that same group wants to do another photo shoot next year. So they've already trying to get me to do a costume for that. So
cool.
We'll
so
see.
It's not going to be X-Men. It's going to be a different theme.
It's going to be X-Men, but Beast is not part of the photo shoot.
Oh. So you get to do a different character.
They're asking me to do a different character, yeah.
Did they already tell you what they want you to do?
I had 60 days to do Beast.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Okay. So all that was put together, the full silicone mask that I had to sculpt and cast and everything, and the suit, lots of sewings, a couple overnighters. My wife, she's a trooper for sewing that for me.
Yeah.
Thanks, Michelle.
She's actually in a conference right now, so...
Yeah, she's.
It doesn't look like a conference. It looks like a lot of fun.
Swimming with fishes.
swimming with dolphins or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, she went to the zoo today. Yeah.
Oh,
okay. The veterinarians, they go to zoos too and learn about their husbandry. Anyway, so 60 days was really a killer. And I told him, Shep, I'm not going to do this again. I said, if you want me to do a costume, you're going to have to give me advance notice. So
yeah, let me know now.
Last week they gave me advance notice.
Ah.
Now you've got a whole year.
Wow.
So they expect they know
which one you're going to do.
Well, knowing me, I'll probably start 60 days from Dragon Con.
yep.
Put it off.
Sounds about right.
So Ryan, did you see a bunch of people in the carpet wear? Did you see when we met?
Yeah, I did. I saw the girls in the dresses.
Yep.
And I saw the ninjas.
Yeah. Well, you probably barely saw the ninjas.
I think just this much.
Did you see the Marriott? What they call it? The Marriott Chariot.
That thing. You know, I had no idea that Harrison was building that.
Yep.
And I thought when I saw it, I thought, okay, maybe it's just like a cheap electronic scooter, whatever, that he converted. But no, he built this thing from the ground up, and it hauls butt. It probably goes 35 miles per hour or something crazy like that.
Wow.
It'll do 20.
I thought it was
20.
I know it'll do 20 because I got it up that fast. floor of the Marriott.
Nice. So I went back after Dragon Con to see what he did to build it, because I was too busy to follow his stuff building Beast, but then I was like, wow, I mean, he'd been working on this for a while, trying to keep it under wraps, so it was really impressive.
Yeah, well, that's cool to know, because I just thought it was like one of those little kitty cars that you buy at the store, and he wrapped the material around it. That's what I thought it was, but that's really cool to know that he basically built a mini car.
Well, yeah, there's a group of electric go-kart, I can't remember what the group's called, to be honest.
It's like power racing. It's basically the old Power Wheels, which his thing is a Power Wheels Jeep, into racing electric racing cars.
That's so cool.
And not only that, but I was on the con floor, and I was walking around taking photos, and I saw him. I'm like, oh, that's cool, so I want to go take a closer look. And as a cooler pops open the cooler, and he pops out a beer. I'm like, what? I totally want one now. I got to make one. I want to drive around something. I'm going to make it look like the Batmobile or something.
There you go.
Do they have a Batmobile Power Wheels? I need to find this out.
I'm sure they do.
Google.
I'm sure it's out there.
Yeah. Cool. Well, it sounds like you guys had lots of fun at Dragon Con.
Oh my God, it was so much fun.
It's weird for me, because last year I went to like two panels, and this year I went to like two panels, maybe one and a half or something, because I walked out of one. And mostly it's just about, for me, it's just like cosplay, photo shoot, and then socialize.
Right.
But there's so much more you can do at Dragon Con.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See, if I went to Dragon Con, I would be all about the panels. I would be about meeting the you know, celebrities and all that kind of stuff.
All
the gaming that's going on. And
I did meet some celebrities.
Well, that's true. You did.
No, but I also stepped in and watched the League of Legends competition.
Ooh.
They had the group PvP competition.
Yeah,
that was pretty impressive to watch.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I don't play League of Legends.
I see those videos
and I'm like, psh.
If you want to be competitive, you got to dedicate your entire hobby just to that. So.
It's not a hobby to those guys. That's a full-time job.
Well, you know, I play World of Warcraft, and I like to raid, but there's some people who take it really to the extreme.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. You know, then they win these competitions and come home with $1 million.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Okay, well.
Well, and even split between the six team members,
right,
or whatever,
sure,
that's still a lot of money.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just like you can't – it's like people saying, oh, you know, I watched boxing on TV. Now I'm going to be the world heavyweight champion because I went to the gym and practiced boxing.
Right. Yeah.
No, just because you can play the video game doesn't mean you're going to be a world champion.
So. Yeah. They dedicate a lot of time.
Well,
it's
not only that, but you've got to be this kind of like, you got to have weird, fast twitch muscle fibers. It's genetic, I think.
Yeah. You lose it when you turn 32, by the way.
Yeah. It goes downhill, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good news.
Well, we're all past that now.
Some of us never had it to begin with.
I just did some really fast research, and it looks like, I don't think it's the company Power Wheels, I think it's called Buddy L Power Drivers. In 1992, they made a Batmobile, the 89 Keaton Batmobile. And this guy's selling it for $300, and I'm very tempted.
Yeah.
I
it,
totally
Bill.
Write this off the business expense.
Yes. Yes.
Free shipping. Yes. That's good. This time it's small.
Yeah,
but it's still pretty big.
Dude, you could totally put on a Batman cowl and drive around. Get out of the way.
Yeah.
The rules of the road don't apply to me. I'm Batman.
Oh, this one, it claims it needs repair. That's fine.
That's fine. You just need the shell. Yes.
That's right.
You can negotiate.
I'm gonna put an actual turbine engine in it. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, you could. They make those the RC jet planes. They sell the jet engines for those, and you could put one of those jet engines to the back and turn it on.
Awesome.
Going down. Can you imagine that in a Dragon Con parade? All of a sudden, it sounds like, what's this noise? It's a jet. I'm Batman. Dude, that would be totally epic.
Rachel!
That would be awesome. All right. Shall we move on to Salt Lake Comic Con?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just laughing from the Batman.
There was a connection between Ryan and Mike between Dragon Con and Salt Lake Comic Con. You want to talk about that?
You said you had a soundbite from GG.
I do. I forgot to play it. My bad.
Yeah, so.
I have downloaded it and everything. I just forgot it.
You know, I'm kind of thinking I'll go chronologically so I can remember each day. But I was actually with my press pass. I was lucky enough to get onto the floor super early every day. The floor opened up at 10 a.m. For the VIP passes, and I was there as early as 8:30.
Wow.
So I could see them set up and see everybody kind of prepping their booths and seeing all the artists kind of put together their wares. And I was able to listen to the early morning radio shows and so forth that were there, which was nice because then I was able to meet certain celebrities at these early morning radio shows. So that was kind of nice too. The very first day at 11 a.m., they had the press conference. And the press conference was kind of like the big reveal, like, hey, here's Salt Lake Comic Con. Here are all some of the guests that we have. And they wanted to talk about the heroes of like superheroes, and so they were honoring all the military and fire departments and everybody that were heroes to the community during the opening ceremonies, which was really cool. And they had like Make-A-Wish Foundation kids up on stage meeting all the celebrities who were coming out, and they came out of a TARDIS. So there was a big TARDIS stage, and every time they would introduce a celebrity, it would fill up with smoke, and the celebrity would step out. And the very first celebrity was Lou Ferrigno, And he really nice guy, big still.
Yeah.
But when he gets really excited and he's talking into his microphone, you realize, yeah, he is going deaf. You can kind of tell how he talks. You know, you can tell he's starting to lose a little bit of his diction. And so if he got really excited and started talking quickly, sometimes you'd be like, what did he just say?
Well, yeah. he's been like that his entire life, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and he does really you would never know. But one of the big things you do notice is that you can't like say Mr. Ferrigno or hey Lou, you know, you actually have to get his attention or be really close to him for him to even realize that you're trying to talk.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially in like a crowded area with all of that noise, basically white noise in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I saw him.
I have an embarrassing story about with Lou Ferrigno, actually. So we were at, I can't even remember what con it was. I think it was, it was Mid-Ohio Con in 2010. Okay.
Oh, okay.
This was before Avengers came out.
Okay.
And so everyone was like, wanted to know Avengers stuff. So they're asking him Avengers questions. And he's like, well, I'm not really in it, but I do lend my voice to the Hulk. And we're like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. And I was talking to him about it because I was on the front row and it was a very tiny room in a small panel area. And so it was like really easy to chat with him because everyone else is like really shy. And so I was just throwing out questions and he said, yeah, I do the voice. And then I said this really embarrassing thing. I said, good luck with that. Why would I say good luck with that? That's like, what kind of response is that?
Yeah.
Good, yeah, nice. Good luck with that.
Good luck with that.
I'm like,
that's
big
funny.
I'm like, oh, man. And now, and I saw him later at the con, and I was like, you know, I just hit my head. And, oh, it was so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Hey, Lou, good luck with that. Anyway, go ahead.
No, it's funny. It's good. They had some cosplayers come up and meet with the kids, and it was a nice little, you know, opening. And they said, hey, you know, our goal is to hit 120,000 attendees this convention. As you may have heard, they blew that out of the water.
Right.
They haven't released official numbers, but we do know on Saturday the fire marshal had to slow down the entry into the building on two different occasions just as a precaution, which means the building was meeting anywhere between 80 and 90,000 in capacity.
Right.
Which is just crazy. And that was just in one day. But like other guests came out, and after the intro, we got to actually meet the celebrities, at least the celebrities you could get to, since we were all press. And I had the opportunity of meeting with Vic Mignogna, who is a
How you say his last name?
He's gonna say it. That's
right. We'll just go with
honestly,
it.
Honestly, I had heard it so many different ways that weekend, but anyway, he's
the Dragon Ball Z guy, right?
Yeah, he did Brotherhood, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, Dragon Ball Z, Bleach, Soul Eater, High School.
Mike got a soundbite of him doing it.
Any popular anime, he's been in it.
Yeah, probably. Major anime, he's voiced because he's been around. He said he's done over 250 shows.
Wow.
And so he pretty much does everything, but super, super nice guy. And just really nice. It was great. I got a picture with him. So if you've seen the photos on the Closet Geek page, he's that super nice looking blonde guy, sitting, you know, next to my cheesy grin.
All I saw was the John Barrowman picture.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, Yeah, the John Barrowman picture, that was pretty awesome.
And the song that you put up on the webpage that he sang.
Yeah, because that was his on his panel, the at the end, he's like, you know what, I want to do something special for you guys. And so he's saying, oh, goodness gracious, I can't think of the I can't think of the song now.
I need you, baby. If it's quite all right, I need you.
Thank you.
Yes, that's one. But we have no idea what it's called.
I love you, baby. That's what it is. I love you, baby. But yeah, he was
singing from his piece of paper.
Yeah,
he didn't have the words memorized, which is cool, I guess.
He said that he had decided to do that like the night before. So he said he wanted to do something special, and so he's like, he found a Minus track that the tech guys could play, and he had his words printed out because he knew the song well enough that he could karaoke it, basically.
Oh, he did it, yeah. He would blow most karaoke people out of the water.
Right. He sounded so good. And then the tech guys by the second verse were having fun with like reverb and stuff. It was great. But the very first panel I went to after meeting, I met Vic, and then I met Victoria Taylor, who was another voice actor or actress who did like Ash Ketchum from Pokemon for the first 8 seasons. Hmm. And I got a sound bite from her.
Nice.
Doing the voice of Ash. Woo! It's awesome. I'll have to play that later when I actually edit them.
Dave down Gigi Edgley, because she was there as well, and she was of Farscape. And Jim Henson.
Jim Henson's Creature Shop, she's the hostess. Yeah.
And she missed me, along with a few others, and kind of went on her way, because, you know, she waved goodbye, and we're all like, bye. Saturday morning, she was just hanging out at her booth, and since I was in before the crowds, I just was like, I just walked up to her and said, hello, how you doing, and introduced myself and said, hey, you know, I believe you met my brother at Dragon Con last week. And she goes, really? And I said, you might remember a really large blue furry guy, the Beast from X-Men, enter the elevator with you. And she says, yeah, I was in the elevator with a bunch of people, and this big blue guy comes in and we're like, we have no room.
I know. I was so late for the photo shoot. So I was like, I'm coming in. I'm going to cram myself in. I got to go, or they're going to take all these photos without me.
She said that it was really impressive. so she thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. It was funny because I charged into the elevator. It was me, Iceman, and Gambit, you know. We all just got, there was no room for us, but we went in anyway, you know. And so I'm wearing, you know, I'm 6'6", but I'm also wearing a padded muscle suit and a fursuit over that. So there's like a lot of bulk. And so I'm basically Sasquatch, jumped into this one. And there's Gigi, and she says something, and I look at her, and I'm like, who's this kind of short, kind of good looking lady here? And then she started talking, and I could hear her accent. I'm like, oh, that's what's her face? That's what's her face? And I couldn't think of her name.
Yeah.
And so and she's just like,
very Australian.
Like, yeah. Well, I don't know. Is she New Zealand or Australian?
I don't know.
We're insulting either New Zealand or Australian at this moment.
That's
And she said something about.
New Zealand.
Something about my costume being hot, and I'm like, yeah, it's really, really hot. It was so disgustingly hot that when I leaned over to, I don't know, look down or whatever, all the sweat would just drip out of the eye sockets and out of the mouth sockets. And people thought I was like puking or something or spitting, and I'm like, no, dude, this is just sweat.
Oh, no.
Like a
rabid dog.
Great.
So yeah. when I got to Salt Lake Comic Con, the first thing I went in was Aquabats cosplayers.
Oh,
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm stoked about because every convention I go to, there's always an Aquabat cosplayer, no matter what.
Did you realize, were they the real Aquabat
cosplayer? So, I'm going through the photos that you guys have on your Facebook page, and I see the pictures of them, and I realize that it was not Aquabat cosplayers. That was actually the Aquabat.
Aquabat.
Yeah, and I tweeted about
it. Great costumes, guys.
Yeah, the first thing I tweeted about at Salt Lake Comic Con, I was like, I'm so excited to see. Everyone always does the Aquabats cosplayers, and I just kept walking, and I was like, damn it, that was really them.
Yeah, I got to meet them and talk with all of them. That was really a fun experience because I was a fan of the Aquabats. I say was because I didn't know they were still around until recently.
Did you ask them about Yo Gabba Gabba?
No, I did not.
That's
I did actually ask them about their TV, their little TV miniseries, though, the Aquabats.
Oh,
and they just laughed and rolled their eyes and went, they were like, kind of that attitude of like, why did we do that?
Yeah.
Because it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's almost impossible to watch now. I mean, it's available. You can watch it. But
yeah, I think you can watch it, yeah. But yeah, they're cool.
They're
so the radio show also had like a creature guy that morning, and so the Aquabats lead singer was holding like a boa and a tarantula.
Right.
Oh, like
these photos
like
have, yeah.
Not a special effects creature guy, an actual
creature guy. Right. Yeah,
like a beast, a animal beast husbandry dude.
Yes.
Yeah. A beast husbandry.
Yeah.
So did you see Smog?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I got in there early.
Oh yeah. That thing was impressive looking.
When they were just setting him up, when they had just plugged him in for the day, because his eyes actually open and close.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the iris would look around, and I went in there so early they were still doing paint prep on some of the stone.
That's crazy.
That morning, and I was watching him, and I said, "Hey, do you mind if I take some pictures?" And he looks up at me, and he shrugs, and so I started taking pictures. I was like,
"I'm working here."
Yeah, well, great.
My shop assistant Cassie works with Weta at their booth. Her and her boyfriend. So cool. I got to go play with Smog.
Yeah,
oh, nice.
I saw one of your pictures with him that you posted. So
well, they were tearing it down Saturday night, and then Sunday during the day they were taking apart the whole booth, taking apart the whole dragon and everything. So I went. Donated some of my time to help them out, and I got to see how the Smog was made, and
nice.
I have the fiberglass splinters to prove it too.
It's a little rough on the inside, huh?
Yeah. So the one eye opens, and there's an acrylic dome in there, and there's a projector that projects his eyeball on there.
Oh.
So it lights up.
Oh,
and
that's a cool effect, yeah.
Yeah, the whole shell of the dragon is all fiberglass, but the eye is foam latex. So it's got a couple of servos that open it up.
Nice.
It's really, really neat. It looked fantastic. I was blown away with the head comes apart in like five pieces, and the seams on it are really, really – obviously, it's Weta doing it. Of course, it's really good. But
yeah, right.
It held up to very close scrutiny.
Yes. That's cool. Yep. You wouldn't
well,
know
I have a,
that it
I have a question. So I know that Mike, having been to the conventions in Utah, have run into this new theme park that's going up in Utah called Evermore. Did you run into that booth, Bill, and what are your thoughts about that?
That was right next to the Weta booth.
Right next to Weta.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was pretty cool. I didn't really get a chance to check it out. It was pretty constantly mobbed with people. They had a couple of ladies with these giant or elaborate dresses on stilts walking around that were really cool. And they had a steampunk robot dude that was a huge fan favorite. Everyone, he was just like doing the robot walking around.
Yep. Yeah, the backpack would puff out smoke.
Yeah, that was neat.
Yeah, it's just really cool that they hope to open next year with
stage
that
one.
Park.
Yeah, stage one,
yeah.
Phase one.
So that's really cool.
Neat.
I think that's going to be a big attraction for people from all over.
It's crazy how much money they have backing this theme.
Well,
have you
read about
basically is what they're calling
the guy that created it? he's like this huge entrepreneur guy that has created several businesses and has sold like all of them for like just millions of dollars. Wow. And so he's like, hey, I want to create this cool adventure park. And so he's dumping a lot of his own money, and then of course investors are investing it. But yeah, he was really rich, and he's like, I want to do something really cool, so let's do this.
Yeah, it's interesting, the castle that they're building on top of this man-made ridge that they're putting together, from the bottom of the mountain to the top of the spire of the castle is going to be around 900 feet.
Wow. Or
something like that. It's crazy. It's all going to be
tall.
Yeah. It's huge, yeah. And they're starting moving land already for the first phase. It's going to be pretty cool.
And they're going to have a huge man-made lake that has a full-size ship on it that people can take rides on, like a pirate ship.
Yeah.
And all sorts of stuff.
And that's all just part of phase one. I mean, they're going to have a big, huge commons area that can fit up to 7,000 people for events and it's going to be a year-round park, and it'll just, as the seasons go, the theme will slightly change with the seasons and so forth. So it's a great idea. I just hope that it keeps up to snuff.
I had another question for
Bill.
Okay,
go ahead, Bill.
All right.
So being you attend a lot of conventions. Yep. That's that's your job. So you get the awesome opportunity to do that. But this is your first time going to Salt Lake Comic Con. What is your opinion of the con for what it is?
It's really interesting. This was their second year, and it felt like a convention in its infancy that didn't really know what to do with that many people showing up. Little things like if you bought a 3-day badge, just a normal 3-day badge, you got like a wrist thing, right? And the idea of those being you put it on and it snaps and you can't take it off to give to someone else. The problem is if you're wearing a costume that would cover that, it kind of messes with the whole system. Whereas every other convention nowadays will give you a badge. You just clip it on your costume or clip it on your shirt and there's no real problem. So that to me stood out as kind of weird, but I can see how it being the first or second year having either not have the funds for that or not have that figured out. They definitely, I don't know, it never felt crazy overcrowded, the way that New York Comic Con or San Diego Comic Con feel. The convention center there in Salt Lake, the Salt Palace, is really cool. It's got a ton of room, and there's like, a sort of a main hallway where people can escape to kind of get out, as opposed to New York Comic Con, which has three escalators that have just become a huge bottleneck.
Right.
So it was cool. It felt like there was a lot of potential there, but it felt like a lot of the vendors, a lot of the artists and the people there didn't really know what to make of the whole thing. So it's not, it's got a lot of room to grow, and there's no vibe. You know, Ryan, how like, Dragon Con kind of has that vibe. You just kind of feel it. It's got a personality.
Absolutely.
San Diego Comic Con is like that. It's got just this sort of, personality, I guess. It's a really weird way to explain it, but Salt Lake doesn't quite have that yet. It doesn't quite know what it wants to be.
It hasn't branded itself yet.
Right. But there is a ton of interest. I mean, Salt Lake is definitely an area that was ripe for that kind of convention.
Yes.
Right. So I'm very interested. I'll go back next year. Very interested in seeing where it goes from here.
Well, and Stan Lee making that announcement saying that it's the best Comic-Con out there.
Of course, except for maybe Stan Lee's kamikaze.
Yeah.
Stan Lee will endorse pretty much everything.
Right, yeah.
I'm sure when he goes to New York Comic Con next month, he'll be like, this is the best Comic Con ever!
Yeah, that's. I was talking about that with Mark Meir, and how everyone wants him to say, like, this is the best podcast on the Citadel. This is Commander Shepard. This is the best podcast on the Citadel. And he's like, I say that with everything you can think of.
Yeah.
And so he says Commander Shepard's endorsement doesn't mean anything anymore.
Well, yeah. Just endorses everything.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I went to Carrie Elwes's panel. Mm-hmm. So
is it Elwes? Is that how you say it?
Elwes. Mm-hmm. Cary Elwes. Oh,
it's not Elwes.
I always thought it was like you.
Yeah, that's
like
how everybody. That's how. Yeah,
before
that's
the
how,
L, if it
that's
was
how the announcer announced him, and that's how Elwes. He came. Elwes.
That's how I've always said it. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but
I win.
Yeah, he was also at DragonCon. Yeah,
he was so nice. Such a very energetic guy. Although
he's got a new TV show going on, he
plugged his book that he just wrote about, because it's what, the 25th anniversary of the Princess Bride, and so he wrote that book along with all the other actors about the Princess Bride experience, and so he kept joking around. He's like, okay, everybody, get your cell phone out. Okay, go to this website, and at the right. Everybody, okay, on 1, 2, 3, press your button. And it basically pulled up the I'm going to buy this book. So he's like, okay, we just, it's like, let's crash Amazon. It was funny.
Nice.
But he was a really, really nice guy. Just got some quick pictures of that. Apparently he had a no picture clause. And so all the media people were running around, don't take pictures, don't take pictures. And I was like, I got my 6, I'm good. You know, so
I got these before you got to
that
me.
That was my first panel, and then I went to a panel for our podcast called "The Power of Podcasting in Geek Culture," because it was a lot of the regional podcasts that are geek oriented, such as the Geek Show podcast, Hello Sweetie podcast, and then there was, I think, 322. And a few others that were there. And it was nice to hear them talk about, this is what we would recommend you do to be successful. This is what we would recommend you do for equipment or how you should get the best audio quality and so forth. And it was nice to know that we do the, 90% of everything they recommended that we do.
Go to
the Closet Geek. And so when I stood up and I asked them, I said, we have to Skype because we all live across the United States, which makes it great for interviews. Awesome. Thanks for being here, Bill. But it was,
hey, Bill.
It also makes it difficult for sound quality to be equal and high quality all the time. And so I had to pull them aside and talk to a few of them afterwards. And so I got some business cards from like Kerry Jackson from the Geek Show podcast and stuff. And Kerry Jackson said, "You're from the Closet Geek?" And I said, "Yeah." And he's like, "Oh, I follow you guys on Twitter." And I was like, "Woohoo!"
What?
Yeah. So it's like, I found out that a bunch of these guys follow us on Twitter.
It's because some dude came up to me. I was in my Beast costume and he's like, Ryan, I'm like, who are you?
You know me.
He's like, we're such and such podcast. We know of your podcast and we're podcasters as well. I was like, that's totally cool. And I wish I would have got their business card or something, because now I know who that was.
I think it's awesome. That's so cool that people are following us. But tell us. Interact with us. We'd love to talk to you.
Follow us on Twitter. That was my Thursday. Friday, I went to Vic's panel and went to Bruce Campbell's panel. Bruce Campbell, oh my gosh, what a character. He made fun of Utah in the best way possible. He looked like Bob Barker. He was like in this
yellow
blazer. Like, you saw pictures. And he comes out and he runs kind of like a game show where he was pulling people out of the audience who claimed to have a skill or something special about them that wasn't like an affliction. she's like, I'm a mother of 8. And he's like, that's great that you're a mother, but that's more of like an affliction. That's not really a talent, he was just joking around. He's like, golly gee, heck darn, hey everybody, it's hecka good to be in Salt Lake City, he just made so much fun.
This is the normal speak for people in Utah.
Yeah.
So that was great. He made fun of everybody who went up there. And he's like, thanks for being up here. It was great to have you up here. Hold on. And he would like pull out a wad of cash out of his pocket and flip through all these bills. And then he'd pull out like a $5 bill and be like, here you go. And he was like giving people money for being up on stage with him. It was great.
That's awesome.
I'll take
it was
five
just
bucks.
So silly.
Cool.
There's the
he didn't actually
Evil Dead musical now, right?
Yeah.
He actually
went to that. He went to the premiere of the Evil Dead musical.
Well, I know. Did he talk about that they're possibly doing another movie?
No, he didn't say anything about that.
Oh, okay, I was reading about that recently.
It's still rumored.
Like Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell.
The whole plan was just him having a good time. He didn't do any questions or anything. He didn't talk about himself hardly at all.
It's a one man show.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hold on, Mike.
Uh-oh.
Oh no, I just want to, you know, we don't want to.
Oh yeah, we're coming up on time.
Too much time.
So,
we actually have to have a scheduled time. Bill, yep. Is there anything else about Salt Lake Comic Con that you'd like to tell everybody?
Not really. Covered it pretty much. I didn't do a whole lot. I just dressed up in my costume and hung out with my best friend Smog. And I had a good time. I hung out with the Johnsons a lot, which, for those that don't know, Scott Johnson and his family are the best family in America. And
they're pretty awesome.
Yeah,
people.
They're fantastic.
They were really nice.
Yeah. Yep. So, okay, Bill.
Yep.
We're done with
all
that.
Right.
Yeah, you.
All right. Thanks for coming on, man. We love
you. Are you going to stick around for geeky trivia?
No, he said he – unless you want to,
I have to continue writing my ebook. It's got to get out on Monday.
Okay.
So I got deadline. All right.
All right.
My boss is riding you.
All right. Thanks for stopping by.
You betcha. All
right. See
you guys.
Bye, Bill.
Bye.
Okay. I mean, we're going to go into geeky trivia.
Do it,
all
right. Man. Do it.
All right.
Hang it up.
Let's
bye,
go.
Guys.
Geeky trivia! Woo! All right, Mike has it.
So
go ahead, Mike.
You know, it was my turn, and I was like, you know what? I ran into the Robotech booth at Salt Lake Comic Con.
Cool.
And it was a guy who is an avid collector, and he had pretty much everything and anything you could think of that surrounded the concept of Robotech.
Did he have those 1980s transforming ones that are like this tall.
He had some pictures from his collection because he couldn't bring everything with him. But
our neighbors did.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
So
to
you celebrate
see the picture of the Invid. Oh, sorry. There was a picture of the Invid Shock Trooper at the anime
Expo.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It's like 20 feet tall. I mean, it was
what?
Really well done. Yeah,
I did
it was
not see
huge.
That.
Yeah, you'll have to go search for that. It was
so really trivia cool. Is on Robotech.
Yeah.
Robotech's
30th anniversary coming up in 2015. So I thought, you know what? Let's do some Robotech trivia. For those who don't know what Robotech is, it's a animation
shame on
that
you.
Came out in 1985 and was syndicated on television.
Probably one of the first Japanese animation that were introduced to America.
That was popular, really popular.
Technically, it was three different Japanese shows that were all spliced together to make an American cartoon. So we're going to first start in the first generation, which is Macross. So
right,
these questions are from the first 36 episodes, excuse me.
All right.
So, what year did the SDF-1 crash on Earth?
Ooh.
1999.
Ooh, Barry.
Good job.
So, let me write this down so I can keep track of the scores. So Barry got one. All right. What was the name of the island where the SDF-1 landed?
Macross Island.
Yes, John.
Oh.
Yeah, just
so, by the way, I have these as multiple choice in case you can't answer right away.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So, nice. What race came to Earth and started
fighting?
Yes.
Dang it! Oh, I was gonna, just about to say that.
Okay. Who was the supreme commander of the enemy forces?
I knew you were going to ask this question. I was going to even Google it earlier. It's like...
Like Zoltan or
no,
something.
No, it's like Zod. Or it's not okay, Zod, so but it's like...
The options are Myria, Britai,
Britai.
Exador,
yeah, that's what
or
it is.
Dolza.
Britai. I think Ryan got it.
Exador.
Wrong.
Oh, it's not Britai? It,
the question is the supreme commander, who was Dolza. Who is the of Britai?
Boo!
Yeah. Boo! Trick question, boo!
Who captained the SDF-1?
Global.
Global.
Yes.
Global.
Barry.
Barry said global.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
I'll
see you down
I'll
there.
I'll give you both a point. How's that? We'll be fair and equitable. All right.
Actually,
so,
he's on your side.
So why was the SDF-1's transformation necessary? So I'm going
to fire the gun.
Yes.
No, not. Oh.
Yes, damn. Ryan, to power the main gun. So now here's for 1 point each, or if I have to go to multiple choice, just 1 point total. What were the names of the two super carriers which became the arms of the SDF-1?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. Nope.
Bob and
Rick
Peter.
And Lisa? Was it Exe and Zorex? Was it Hyibe and Frentria? Or was it Daedalus and Prometheus?
Daedalus and
yes.
Prometheus.
Daedalus and Prometheus.
Yes. I'll give that to Ryan.
Yes.
Started talking first.
I just said yes.
Yes, that's the
that
one.
That one. Here's just a simple yes or no question. Did Rick Hunter end up with Lisa Hayes?
Yes.
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 Very.
Oh, come on.
Do you have a delay, John? What's going on? All right. So... kind of going back to maybe something you guys maybe mentioned before, what was the name of the enemy with the metal piece over half of his face?
Britai.
Yes, Britai. John and Ryan.
Dang it. John and Ryan.
You guys said it at the same time.
No, I said it before you did.
Who was the original builder of the SDF-1 before it arrived on Earth?
The Inbit.
The Zentradi?
Okay. So the options are the Robotech Masters.
Yes, the Robotech Masters.
Oh, yes, Masters, that one.
The Zentradi Masters. Or Zor.
The Masters.
No, it was Zor.
Zor.
So Zor was the creator of the SDF-1. He just happened to be a Robotech Master. All right.
Oh. Trick question.
So, did Roy Folker die during battle?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Well,
Ryan,
he was,
he did not die after battle.
He
died after battle.
Come on.
Yeah, Ryan.
He died in his bed.
Yeah.
He died on
his couch.
Couch.
Anyway.
He died on some sort of piece of furniture.
All right. So what squadron was originally led by Roy Folker?
Skull.
Yes, Skull Squadron, Ryan.
Oh, come on!
I was so ahead of you.
At the same time.
No way.
I hear Ryan first. You guys need to speak up, I guess.
John's going to start crying. You look visibly upset, actually.
Okay. This one does not have multiple choice,
okay.
So it's worth 3 points. Name the pilot who was killed when the barrier system overloaded and blew apart part of the Earth and part of the enemy.
Ben.
Ben, it was Ben.
Yeah.
Full Wasn't name, it? Please.
Ben.
Benjamin.
Peter.
All right, I'll give Ryan and Barry a single point. It was Ben Dixon.
Ben Dixon.
All right. So, was the SDF-1 destroyed at the end of the series?
No.
I Don't know, actually.
Well, if it's not no, it's obviously yes. Yes. Yes, it was.
Because in the next, it was STF-3.
Correct, because the STF-1 and STF-2 were both destroyed at the same time. All right, in the Robotech series.
I don't remember.
I should get an extra point for that.
So
no, you shouldn't.
All right, so we're gonna skip the second generation.
Thank you.
Most people forget about that. We're gonna go into the third generation.
There was one. There was a good. What was the good part about the second generation?
The motorcycles. No, yes. That's the third.
That was the third. Third. No, there was something good about it.
Nah, not really.
I know there was something good about it.
Not really.
Anyway.
It's the shortest of this. Okay, so
there's a reason why it's the shortest. They're so, like, okay, we've got to move on
in the third generation. Who's the main character of the series?
Oh, the
is
guy.
It
Rand.
Rook.
Rand.
Rand or Scott.
Scott.
Yes.
Oh, Scott. And Scott's leader. Yeah. Scott's the pilot. Rand's the boy with the
The redhead boy.
Huh?
What were the enemies called?
Invid. Yes.
Yeah, I got one.
Okay. Here's multiple choice. Which of the following is not a vehicle used by the Earth forces? A Destroid, an Alpha, a Cyclone, or a Beta?
Destroid.
Destroid.
Yes, Barry. Destroid.
No.
Oh.
John, maybe you are on a delay because I don't hear you.
You're on a delay.
Dad, delay your face. Okay. Here's a tough one, but multiple choice. Which of the following is not a vehicle used by the enemy? A Slayer, a Scout, a Shock Trooper, or a Pinsir?
A Slayer.
Yes, Barry, a Slayer. All right. Which division of the Robotech Expeditionary Force was Scott a member of?
Oh.
Expeditionary Force?
What's two. That?
Was he part of Neptune Division, Jupiter Division, Mars Division, or Saturn
Jupiter.
Division?
Jupiter sounds right.
Yes, Mars, Ryan.
Dang it.
Okay. What movie title was printed on Annie's cap?
Oh, wow. That's good.
Star Wars.
No. Was it Star Wars? Nope. Close counter.
What's what?
E.T. or Jaws?
E.T.
What was the other one?
Come on, E.T.
Oh, what?
I was going to say E.T. before you, and I was like, well, maybe I better not say that. And it was. I'm right. Woo.
Okay.
Woo.
From this point forward, if you can answer them without multiple choice, they're worth 3 points.
Oh, snap.
What was the name of Scott's fiance?
Oh, jeez.
Peter?
So, was it Sarah?
Sarah.
Yellow Dancer or Marlene?
Marlene. Marlene.
Yes, Barry, Marlene, for 1 point.
I hear that.
All right. How did Scott's fiance die?
In the attack.
She was killed.
In space. When they were coming down to Earth, she was on the main ship that he was on, but he was out fighting, so the Invid came and destroyed the ship.
Oh, you're so close. You're in...
That's what...
Let's hear what is it?
That's what I thought. I could,
yeah, I'm going to give you a single point, not the full 3 points.
Creativity.
All right.
Because technically her ship broke
just
up.
Totally BS'd your way through that answer.
The atmosphere.
Yeah, BS'd for a point.
Yes, for a point. Okay, what did the Freedom Fighters face in the Genesis Pit?
In Pit?
Did they face mutants, Invid troopers, massive storms, or dinosaurs?
Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
Yes, Barry, dinosaurs. John's given up.
Because apparently I'm on a delay. Dinosaurs!
Are you using Microsoft Netscape? What is it? One that's really slow?
Yeah. Okay. Of the Alpha or Beta... of the Alpha...
Alpha Beta.
Veritex, which was larger?
The Beta.
Yes, John, Beta.
The Beta,
was awesome.
Because it's attached to the back of the Alpha.
All right.
I've forgotten how cool the third season was.
It was
Which
cool.
character was so known stuff. As Yellow Dancer?
Lancer.
Yellow Dancer!
Yes, Ryan Lancer.
Dang it. I was too stupid.
Okay. Whoop. There we go. Why did the Invid invade Earth?
Protoculture.
Protoculture. Dang it.
Okay.
It was for some.
I'm going to give you your options.
They wanted energy. Protoculture.
To steal the Earth's technology, to steal Earth's resources, revenge for attacks on their own planet, or to harvest the Flower of Life.
Flower of Life.
Which is, come on!
Because protoculture is a byproduct of the Flower of Life.
Come on!
Yeah, give him a point. That's
I'm going to give him a point.
No, you should give me three!
Okay, I'll give John 3 points. All right.
Okay.
Argument taken. Behind. This one's the last question. What continent was Reflex Point located in?
Australia.
Yeah.
No.
Dang it. Africa.
No.
Asia.
No.
South America. North America.
It was North America, John.
Yes.
I'll give you a point because you finally rattled it off.
Rapid fire.
Just holding like
rapid fire.
Six options there.
Seven. All right.
Seven options.
Right?
Seven
options.
Sure. All right. All right. I could keep going, but that's it for trivia. We have Ryan with 12 points. Barry with 10 points.
Oh, come on!
Points.
All right.
Yeah.
You know what that means? That means that
ruler.
You don't wash Robotech.
It's going to be interesting because Robotech's 30th anniversary, that's what they were trying to do Robotech Academy for, but that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably still going to happen.
Just probably a slower process.
Or I think what they were trying to do, see, they were just trying to get money to make the pilot.
Correct.
But
yeah.
I think they are still going to be able to, you know, farm it out to somebody that'll give
It'll
them the money.
Cool.
All right. Well, we'd like to thank.
Bye.
That's it. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, I'm going now. All right. We'd like to thank Alpha Geek Radio for the live stream and also Doghouse Systems for being an affiliate. You can use the code CLOSETGEEK to get double your RAM on your order. And also go to our website, theclosetgeek.net, to use our Amazon link. Thank you for listening to The Closet Geek. You can find us at theclosetgeek.net, on our Facebook page, Twitter. Go like us and interact with us. We'd love to talk with you. If you have any questions, you can email us at theclosetgeekpod@gmail.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our show on iTunes. Rate and review it. Come join us next week. We are the Four Horsemen of Geek, reminding you to wave your geek flag proudly.
Yay.
That's that.